Okay, good morning everybody. Welcome back to our Thursday class at the Young Israel of Woodmere. I hope that everyone had a meaningful week. Oh, important schedule announcement. So 1 second, important schedule announcement. Let me just go to my calendar, please. The people on Zoom and the people in person. There is Shiur next week, June 17th, Be'ezrat Hashem, there is Shiur. Then there's always a couple of weeks where the base medrash program is off before the summer. There's no Shiur June 24th. And there is no Shiur July 1st. And then the summer program runs for 6 weeks. And my first Shiur is Thursday, July 8th. This is obviously in conjunction and consultation with Rabbi Shai Schechter, who runs the program. Okay, so I'm going to repeat. If you have friends who usually join us and they happen to not be here today, there is no Shiur June 24th. There is no Shiur July 1st. We have 2 weeks off. And then, Be'ezer Hashem, we begin a 6-week summer session. My first Shiur is Thursday, July 8th. Okay, but there is Shiur next Thursday, June 17th. So after today, one more Shiur, then 2 weeks off, then we resume, Be'ezer Hashem. Okay, fine. Important, please share that with others who may not be in attendance today. So it's Parshas Korach. So I chose a nice topic, I think, to speak about, something that's also very close to my heart, as you will hear. So what I want to do is talk about the basic story and Korach's rebellion, just mamish according to the pshat of the psukim in Perek Tet Zayin. There's obviously so much to talk about on the level of the drash, but I just want to go through the pshat so we know what the basic level of the text is about Korach's rebellion. And then this shiur today is very heavily based on the teachings of Rabbi Salvechuk, Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechuk, better known as the Rav. This series is really insights and lessons from Torah HaRav. I don't always get to end up quoting the Rav like I want, but today's Shiur is very heavily based on the teachings of Rav Salvechuk. So the Psukim tell us, and I'm just going to paraphrase the story that is related to us in chapter 16 of the book of Bamidbar, of course, and Korach, the son of Yitzhar, the son of Kahash, the son of Levi, took, along with Dasan and Aviram, and Own Ben Peles, and 250 men. Rashi tells us the majority of these 250 were from the tribe of Reuven, Oile Rasha v'Oile Shcheino, because Reuven and the family of Korach Kahas camped on the south. They were negatively influenced by Korach's rebellion, and they get up before Moshe and Aaron, and they say, enough for you, the whole assembly is holy. Why do you pride yourselves over the nation of God? So they accuse Moshe and Aaron of taking all the power for themselves. I just remember they're supposed to be announcing something. It's very, very important. The Young Israel of Woodmere brings so much programming to so many. If you belong to the show, if you don't belong to the show, I just saw Robert Spector again yesterday, and he asked me once again to please announce. He says the support and turnout this year has not been very good. For the people on Zoom, you're benefiting from the Young Israel of Woodmere. Whether you belong to the show, they bring so much Torah and minyanim around the clock to the community. YoungIsraelWoodmere.org. Y-I-Woodmere. .org. On the homepage, they're having a super dinner raffle. There are amazing prizes, and even a small contribution, if you can, or a larger contribution, goes a very long way in helping them continue to service the community. So it would be very appropriate to show your Hakar Satov. It's a tax deduction. It's considered a charitable donation. If you are able to do so, the last day, the drawing, I think he told me, is Monday. So YIWoodmere.org, please check it out. It's very important. So Moshe hears, they say, who do you think you are? Everybody's holy, and he falls upon his face, and he speaks to Korach and the entire assembly. In the morning, we're going to have a test, and God will make known who is to his and who he has chosen. Everyone's going to take a fire pen, Korach and the whole assembly. You're going to put upon it fire. You're going to put upon it the ketores, the 11 spice mixture, the incense spices that are offered daily on the Mizbeach HaZahav. And in the morning, the fire pen that God chooses, that is the one who is holy. Rav Lachem B'nei Levi, enough for you, the sons of Levi. And Moshe says to Korach, listen up. Isn't it enough? God distinguished you from the assembly of Israel to be close to him. You have a special avoda. Rashi says you sing on the duchan, you have shira, you have the kohanim, you're a Levi. Why aren't you happy just being a Levi? Why are you so worried about my position, Moshe, about Aaron's position as the kohen, as your other first cousin, Eli Tzafon ben Uziel, as being the Nasi? You should just be happy with what you have. What are you worried about somebody else? And God designated you And Moshe tries to reason with Dothan and Aviram, and they say, we're not coming up. You didn't bring us to land flowing with milk and honey. Even if you gouge out our eyes, we're not entering into negotiations with you. And Moshe is very angry, and he asks God not to turn to their offerings. And Hashem says that Moshe says everyone's going to take his fire pan with the Ketores and the fire, the 250 fire pans, and Aaron will also have his. And you will all stand before God, before the entrance to the tent of meeting. And Korach gathers the entire assembly of Israel. He wants everybody to see the big showdown. It reminds me of Eliyahu and Har Carmel. He wants everyone to see the showdown. And Hashem says to Moshe and Aaron, separate from this assembly. I'm going to annihilate them instantaneously. And they fall upon their faces and they say, this should be very significant to you, Kel Elokei HaRuchos L'chol Basar, the God of spirits for all flesh. One person sins, and you're going to be angry at everybody. And so Hashem says, you're right. I'm not going to destroy the whole nation. Separate from Korach and from Dothan and Aviram and from their families. And everybody had to separate. And Moshe says, if you die a regular death, then Hashem didn't send me. But if you die a special death, then you know that I'm not here on my own. Rather, God has sent me. And what happens? Vatiftach ha'aretz es piha, the ground opened her mouth, vativla osam, and swallowed them, v'espateim, and Rashi tells us, look how terrible is machlokas. The Beis Din only punishes when someone is held accountable for their sins, but here, even those suckling at the breasts, Rashi says, were destroyed. Medrash Tanchuma says, even day-old babies were swept down from the families of Korach and Dothan and Aviram, and it's a terrible, terrible punishment. I thought it was just so cool that this week, I don't know if you saw Monday, there was actually a sinkhole in the parking lot of Shari Tzedek Hospital, Jerusalem. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. They said if it would have been at the shift change at 3 p.m., it would have been a disaster with much loss of life, but only some cars were sucked down to the sinkhole. Baruch Hashem, there was no loss of life, but I thought how nothing is by accident and nothing is by chance. And here the week of Parshas Korach, when the ground opens up and swallows, so we saw it with our own eyes. So Hashem is reminding us that if anybody wants to deny the validity of Torah, and if you want to say that the stories, the ma'asim, the narratives in Torah are fantastic, are not believable, are made up, who made this up? So Hashem says, you know, in 2021 and 5781, the same thing could mamish happen. So don't think, if you need a proof, so Hashem says, not that us here necessarily need the proof, but it's just incredible to see that it just happened earlier this week. So sometimes it happens, so the ground opened up. And so all them and their houses and all those associated with Korach and all of the possessions, and they went down Chayim Sheola, alive to the Sheol, the ground covered them up, and they were lost. And all of Israel who was watching this, they're afraid. And they say, my God, the ground's going to swallow us up also. Remember, Korach called everybody to come watch what happened. And then a fire came out from God, and it consumed the 250 men who brought the Ketores. So they met their end. They got what was coming to them. They were rebelling here against the leadership of Moshe, against the kahuna of Aaron, against the appointment of Elitzafan ben Uziel as the Nasi of Kahas. Korach was not satisfied with just being a Levi. He wanted somebody else's position. And the Ribono Shel Olam punished them. The next day, we're going to put the staff, every tribe puts a staff into the Mishkan, and the staff that blossoms, that is the one who is chosen. Of course, the staff that blossoms will be Aaron, and we learn that we shall not contest against our Gedolim, against our leaders, and against the appointed ones of the Ribono Shel Olam. So I mentioned that today's Shir is heavily based on teachings of Rav Soloveitchik, because some weeks I don't get to quote him, so I'm quoting from a sefer called Vision and Leadership, just for your reference, so you know I always call him a Davar B'Shem Amro, maybe Geula La'olam. So this is a very beautiful piece. So Rav Soloveitchik, actually, there's a whole essay in here called The Korach Rebellion. There's an entire essay called The Korach Rebellion. However, Rav Soloveitchik gives different platforms or reasons. What was Korach's rebellion? What didn't he understand? Why was he rebelling? What was he trying to do? I mean, on the one hand, he was correct. Kol ha'eda kulam kadoshim uvetocham Hashem. That is right. He's right. The entire assembly is holy, and God is amongst all of us. So in trying to understand Korach's rebellion, the Rav touches upon many different aspects of the rebellion. I'm going to touch upon one piece that I don't know that I myself, I don't remember at least having learned it before, and I certainly do not remember having taught this before. I think it's extremely beautiful, and it is, as you will soon see, something that is personally, resounds personally, and something that's close to my heart. So Rav Soloveitchik says as follows, Korach charged that Moshe and Aaron were power hungry. Kulam kadoshim, but duatit nasu from nasi. Why do you pride yourselves? Why do you make yourselves princely over Kol Hashem? They made fun of techelas on tzitzis. They made fun of mezuzos on the door. They said, everything is from your heart. You're just making up the laws. And the truth is that corrupt politicians, I'm not talking about Moshe and Aaron, but corrupt politicians are power hungry. Korach was charging Moshe and Aaron with being power hungry. The irony is that who was power hungry? Not Moshe and Aaron, who were following the law of God. The irony is that Korach himself was, like any good politician, Korach was power hungry. Korach charged that Moshe and Aaron were power hungry. They had set up a power structure and raised themselves above the congregation, which is exactly what Korach says. He equated the exercise of power with kingship. In fact, in the Gemara, Maseches Sanhedrin, Kuftes 109b, so when we have the story of On Ben Pelas, which is a whole different shir, which is a very, very beautiful Gemara, On Ben Pelas in the beginning of the Machlokas, he's there. At the end of the Machlokas, he's not there, so the Gemara tells us his wife saved him. It's a very beautiful, in-depth narrative of the Gemara, but what Korach's wife said, and On Ben Pelas saved his wife saved him. Korach's wife egged him on. But what Korach's wife said, says the Gemara, is that Moshe took Malchus for himself, and he gave Aaron Kuhuna. So the basis of this is that Moshe made himself Melech. Moshe made himself king. Now the question is, was Moshe king? Is that really what he was? He equated Korach, the exercise of power, with kingship. He was accusing Moshe of being a king over Knesset Yisrael. This equation, Moshe as king, and the politicization, well, I'm definitely not saying that right. Politicization, I'm not saying it right. Making sense, political. Politicization. Yeah? Of the relationship between leader and those he leads is incorrect. Korach's equation that Moshe was making himself king and leader and politicizing, I'm just going to say the word of law so I could say it better, politicizing Moshe's relationship with the people as king is incorrect. In Knesset Yisrael, this relationship between leader and those he leads is incorrect. Because, says the Rav, the covenantal community, first and foremost, is not a political community. Covenantal community means the community of, the Rav uses this term very often, covenantal community, from the covenant, the bris. We are the community of the bris social Avraham Avinu. The covenantal community, first and foremost, is not a political community, which is sad because unfortunately, if you follow the modern news in this day and age, there is so much politics that afflict our community and beyond. First and foremost, we are not a political community. And this is what Korach did not understand. We are first and foremost, says the Rav, quote, a teaching community. A teaching community. Throughout the ages, the central figure in the covenantal community has not been a king. We don't have a Buckingham Palace. We don't have crown jewels. We don't have whatever they're called, the royal Jews, royal jewels. We don't have guards and the changing of the guards that stand there. We don't have them riding in carriages or whatever that they do. If you've been to the apartments of the Gedolim ever, nothing could be farther from the way the kings, you know, when we were in Eretz Yisrael, it's already 2 years, Mamash, almost exactly 2 years, we went to see Rabbi Tzinistra Elson. Rabbi Tzinistra Elson is a sister to Rabbi Tzin Batsheva Kanievsky Al Sham. Her father was Rav El Yashiv Zatzal, so I mean, her brother-in-law is Rav Chaim, the Sarah Torah Shlita. And when you see the unbelievable simplicity with which our teachers and our leaders live, we're not talking about kings sitting on thrones. Yes, Knesset Yisrael had kings because we asked for kings much later, but the central figure in Knesset Yisrael is not the king, it's the teacher. It's not the king, it's not the warrior, it's not even the high priest. It's the teacher, it's the Rebbe. The people are not subjects, as is customary in the political community. Ahasuerus was the king. He ruled from Hodu to Kush, 127 provinces, and he made a law. He made a law that everyone has to talk their husband's language. He made a law that all maidens have to come to the Shushan Habira. We are not, the people are not subjects, as is customary in the political community. Am Yisrael, we are disciples of our great teachers. We are students. Even what do you call Talmud Chacham? Talmid Chacham. The highest complimentary term we can give to a Ben Torah is that he's a Talmud Chacham. So what does Talmud Chacham mean? Talmid is a student. So the person could be 60, 70, 80, 90 years old, and the highest compliment is they're a Talmud Chacham. What does it mean? You're always learning from the generation before you. You're always learning from the teachers who came before you. You're learning from those giants, and that's who we see as great. That's who we revere. The people are not subjects. They are disciples. The relationship is not of a political nature between us and our leaders, nor is it connected to the use of violence or the employment of sanctions. Our leaders do not employ violence like some dictatorships do, like some states do, like was apparent in, I'm reading now a book about Ronald Reagan. So far, it's totally too new. I can't recommend the whole thing. I don't know. It's really fascinating. It's called 3 Days in Moscow. Did anyone read it? It's really interesting. My eldest son recommended it. It's fascinating. He was a good man and a strong leader. Anyway, it's really interesting. But one time he tells that they went to visit Russia and he wanted to take a walk and he saw how people were being beaten in the streets and he saw that rulership and the communism that ruled there. So we are not like that in our state, in our nation. We are not led by political rulers who employ violence or the employment of sanctions. What is the relationship between disciple and teacher? Says the Rav, it is a free commitment on the part of the disciples to their master and teacher. It's a free commitment. I still remember when my brother many years ago said to me, he's a much loved teacher in Har Torah, Rabbi Dov Fried. So he said to me, Micha, I'm teaching people who have to be there. He teaches in elementary school. He said, you're teaching people who want to be there. There's no coercion. When you come to a shiur, no one's forcing you. There's no guard standing at the door saying, go in or don't go. And you want to come, you come. You don't want to come, you don't come. And today, with the plethora of svarim available for us, that is also part of the role of teacher in our community. The relationship is not a political nature. There's no violence. There's no employment of sanctions. It's not like, Lahavdal, Alfavdal, BDS, we're going to, you know, put sanctions against you. We're not going to take your prop. We're not going to talk to you. We're going to excommunicate you. You want to learn, you learn. You don't want to learn, you don't learn. It is a free commitment on the part of the disciple to their master and teacher. The latter, meaning the teacher, does not impose any authority over the disciple. There's no authority over the disciple. You want to go see the God of Hador and ask a shayla, you go. Okay, it might be harder today to get in, but if you want to go to see the teacher, you can. I've heard Rabbi Shai Schechter say numerous times in the name of his, he says, as a Messiah from his father's seat of Rabbi Shai Schechter, and he calls Rabbi Asher Weiss his second father, he says, I have a Messiah. If a Rav charges you money to go see him, don't go see him. So there is no authority imposed upon the disciple. A true teacher-student relationship is based on a mutual goal of sharing communication, sharing the Mesorah, transmitting. A person could be 95 years old and you could say that he is a Talmid Chacham. What does that mean? Chacham is wise. And what's Talmid? A student. That means our whole life, our whole goal should always be learning. My children know I'm constantly asking Shailas whenever we have a decision. Whether I asked Rabbi Shai Schechter, my husband asked Rabbi Akiva Willett, we're constantly asking Shai, and the children know that we all need to be always learning. No one's forcing me to ask. No one's standing over me with a rod and saying, you must ask. I'll say the Charav, you make for yourself a teacher. And through that transmission comes a transmission of Torah. And we should always be a Talmidah or a Talmid. The latter does not impose authority. No one asks them to obey his word and follow. They can terminate the relationship at any time. You can terminate the relationship anytime. Now, will your life be less meaningful? Yes. Will you have less direction and hadracha and wisdom transmitted from Moshe down through the ages? Yes. Will you be more confused in this dark, dark world? Yes. But there is no one standing over you with a rod saying, you must do this, you must learn, you must attend shiur, you must ask the shayla. It's a free will relationship between teacher and student, between Rabbi and Talmud. And this is the foundation, says the Rav, of Knesset Yisrael. It is not a political community. Korach charged Moshe, like the Gemara says, with being the Melech. Korach's wife said he took Malchus for himself, he made his brother the Kohen, and you're nothing, you're just a Levi, which first of all isn't true, but they were charging them with taking power and political authority. And says the Rav, that was a grave mistake. We must understand what the teaching community is, what Knesset Yisrael is. We even have, in the beginning of the book of Bamidbar, in Seif Parshas Bamidbar, the beginning of Parak Gimel. So the Pasukim tell us, in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, in Parshas Bamidbar, right in the beginning of Parak Gimel, Pesukim Aleph through Beis, the Pesukim say, the Ela Toldos Aaron v'Moshe, these are the offspring, the Toldos, the Velad of Moshe and Aaron, B'yom Dibar Hashem es Moshe, Bahar Sinai, on the day that God spoke to Moses on the Mount of Sinai, and then Pasuk Beis tells us, Ve'ela Shmos B'nei Aaron, and these are the sons of Aaron, B'nei Arna B'chor, Nadav, Aviyo, Lazar, V'yisamer. So the Torah has just told you, Perek Gimel Pasuk Aleph, that these are the toldos, the offspring, the progeny of Moshe and Aaron on the day that God gave Moshe the Torah on Har Sinai. And now it tells me the four sons of Aaron are coined. So what's going on here? You know by now that nothing in the Torah is an accident. You told me you're going to tell me the children of Moshe and Aaron, and now you only tell me the children of Aaron. So Rashi says, Ve'ela toldos Aaron v'Moshe. These are the offspring of Aaron and Moshe. So Rashi tells us, there ain't no maskir ala b'nei Aaron, but it only mentions who? The sons of Aaron. V'nikru toldos Moshe. What happened to Gershom and Elazar? Now, what happened to them ultimately? That's a whole different shiur. But what happened to them right now in listing the sons of Moshe? Why? So why does it only mention the sons of Aaron and it calls them toldos Moshe? Lefisha limdan Torah. Because Moshe taught them Torah. You can all go look up the Rashi. I'm quoting it verbatim. Milamid, Rashi teaches. Shakal ha-milamid, Rashi is actually quoting the Gemara Masechah Sanhedrin. Shakal ha-milamid es ben chaveiro Torah. Ma'ale alav ha-kasuv ki'ilu yalado. Because whoever teaches his friend's son Torah, the Torah considers it as if he has birthed him. So once again, we see how important the teacher-disciple relationship is to the continuity of Knesset Yisrael. A person has a physical, biological parents. They conceived you, they bore you, hopefully they raised you, hopefully they provided for you. Those are even if a parent did not. A person still has biological parents, otherwise you wouldn't be in this world. We don't believe in immaculate conception, Rachmana Litzlan. Someone gave birth to you. But you also have your spiritual parent. And I just quoted, I've heard Rabbi Shai Shechter, I only heard him say it one time, but he said it calls Rav Asher Weiss his second father, but you only have one father. No, you don't, because a Talmid Chacham or a Talmidah always understands that we are primarily, says the Rav, a teaching community, and we understand why this makes yeshivos and our day schools so integrally important to the continuity of Knesset Yisrael and the continuity of the Mesorah. Chanoch l'nar al pidarko, gam ki lazkin lo yasser mimenu. Yes, the home must be a bastion of chinuch, but we must choose the proper institution to be mechanech the child upon their way with the teacher figure at the helm. And Rashi says, I'm sure that some of you may remember a very special teacher or rabbi that impacted your child or your grandchild in such a positive, uplifting, long-lasting way, and the debt you have to that teacher knows no bounds, because koha melamid es bein chaveiro Torah ma'ala ala kasuv ki'ilu yaldo, which is why Aaron's children are considered who? They're Aaron's biological children. What they are, says Rashi, again, it's Perek Gimel Pasuk Aleph and Bamidbar, they are Moshe Rabbeinu's spiritual children. Going back to Rav Soloveitchik, basically, Judaism disapproves of all forms of human government. There are definite streaks of political anarchism in our reluctance to recognize man as king. We have one king. The Melech, Malchai, Hamlachim, Akash Baruch Hu. We have one king. Rav Soloveitchik speaks in a totally different piece about what is Rosh Hashanah. His Malamid, the Chabad Malamid in Kashlovitz, used to say, boys, what is today about Rosh Hashanah? And the boys would say, they would know, the Malamid would say, today is coronation day. Today is the day we coronate God as Melech. He is the Melech Yosheh Val Kisei Ram V'Nisa. We have one Melech, and it's not a human being. Our Melech, the absolute authority, is the Ribono Shel Olam. God governs. No one else may usurp this prerogative. It's a Ribono Shel Olam is Melech. So what is the role of human being in this world? The only power structure that Judaism has accepted is the non-institutionalized relationship prevailing between teacher and student. And everyone, no matter what their age, must have a teacher and must have students. You're all constantly teaching. In your actions, in your interactions, in the way you speak in your home, you're teaching. And the way you speak to the person in the supermarket and other people watching you, you're teaching. And the way you interact with others before your grandchildren, you're teaching. We are constantly in a role of teacher, and we should be in a role of student as well. Every person embraces this dual aspect in Knesset Yisrael. On the one hand, you're a teacher. You could be teaching a lot of people. You could be teaching your family. You're a teacher. And on the other hand, you must make sure you are a student. It's interesting. I have someone who learns with me, my evening shiur. She's a teacher, a preschool teacher. And she last week told over a Baal Term, a medrash that I had quoted to her children, and she said they loved it, about the meraglim, the pomegranate, whatever. She said they loved it, and she said, I told it to my students, and I told them their mora heard it from her mora, Mora Micha. And I'm not saying that because that's so amazing, and chas v'shalom anything about myself. I think it's so important for our children or our students to know that we, as teacher roles, you have, whether it's your grandchildren, your children, or you're giving a shiur, the disciples must know that you have a rabbi, that you have a teacher, that you're learning from someone. The butt doesn't stop here. Chas v'shalom, there's only one Melech Malchayim Lachim. I thought it was such a beautiful lesson. That wasn't even the point. She put a smiley emoji, but she said, if she told her students, her mora is tmora, mora micha tara. And the only reason I'm saying this is because all of our children should always know that you also have a teacher. Make that teacher part of your life. Let the child know that you asked the shayla, that this is what the Rav told me what to do. Even it might not be halachic shayla. I very, very often ask for hadrach and etzos in life. It's not a halachic question necessarily. And make sure that your students know, whether it's your family, your grandchildren, or your real students in a classroom, in a university, that you are always learning as well. Judaism only accepts the relationship that prevails between teacher and student. In fact, another Rashi in Chumash that illustrates this point, the Pasuk tells us in Devarim Perek Vav, Pasuk Zayin. So Devarim Perek Vav, Pasuk Dalet through Hey, Vav Zayin, is what we call the first paragraph of the Shema. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Devarim Perek Vav, Pasuk Dalet. So the Pasuk says in Pasuk Zayin, Vishinantam Levanecha, you should teach your children, v'dibarta bam, you should speak about them, b'shiftecha b'veisecha, when you sit in your house, u'v'lachtecha v'aderech, and when you go on the way, u'b'shechbecha v'kumecha, when you lay down, when you wake up. So what does Rashi say? V'shinantam levanecha, you should teach a ben is a son, a child. What does Rashi say? What does Rashi say? Eilu? What does Rashi say? V'shinantam levanecha, you say these words every single day. Eilu ha-talmidim. These are the students. Shehatalmidim karuei banim, because children are called sons. Matzidu b'chol makom, says Rashi, we have found in every place that students are called sons. And he brings a pasuk from Devarim as proof, and he brings a pasuk from Chizkiyahu, shalimei Torah l'chol Yisrael. Chizkiyahu taught Torah to all of Israel, pasuk from Devarim Yamim, who karam banim, he was a good king who taught Torah, and they were called his children. Ukashem shahatamidim karui banim, says Rashi, and just like students are called sons, kaharav karui av. So too, the av, the rav is called the av. So it is a spiritual parent-child relationship that should exist between rav slash teacher and disciple slash child. You have your biological set of parents, and you have to make sure that you have your spiritual parents. V'shinantam levanecha, elu ha-talmidim. These are your students. Now, your children should also be your students, by the way. So that's how you reconcile v'shinantam levanecha, your biological children and your spiritual children. Should make sure to be teaching your children. And everything you do really is teaching. And let them know that you are part of the great teaching community. And this is what Korach did not understand, says the Rav. Korach and Moshe only wanted to be the leader. Moshe's role as appointed by the Ribono Shel Olam was to be a master teacher. In fact, what do we call Moshe? Not Moshe Malkeinu, even though I told you, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Kuftas that Korach's wife told him Moshe took kingship for himself. That's not what we call him. We don't call him Moshe Malkeinu. What do we call him, Moshe? Rabbeinu. And Rashi says, Kishem Shatalmidim Kurui Banim, Kacha Rav Kurui Av. Your Rav is your spiritual father. And it's not a relationship of coercion. Moshe is not known to us as a monarch, even though, says Zohar, formally he held a position like a king. He quotes from Devarim 33, Vayehi b'Yishurun Melech, when there was a king in Yishurun, referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. However, he is known as Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe is the greatest of all teachers, says the Rav, the teacher par excellence. Aaron was not just the Kohen Gadol. He too was a great teacher. The priests themselves, the Kohanim, are not just charismatic personalities. Their sanctity, their kedusha, is associated with teaching. As the pasuk says in Devarim, Yaru mishpatecha leYaakov visorascha leYisrael. From Birkas Moshe, Yaru mishpatecha, Yaru, Torah, Hora'ah, Mora. Yaru mishpatecha leYaakov. What is the role of the Kohen? To teach the ordinances to Yaakov, visorascha leYisrael, to teach Torah to Yisrael. The disciples love their masters. It's so beautiful. The disciples love their masters and listen. They do not listen to the order given by the master, since there are no orders, but to their teachings, which enlighten the mind and gladden the heart. I'll repeat it. The disciples love their masters and they listen, not to their orders, because there are none. And obviously this has to do with Ask Me Mature. Yes, when a child is in elementary school, there are rules that have to be followed, and there is a degree of coercion in the fact that the child must attend the school and sit in the desk and listen and take notes and exams. But as we mature, that relationship should move from one where there is some degree of coercion to a degree of ahava between master and student, between teacher and disciple, between Rabbi Av and Talmid Ben. And that's a relationship we should all be in. And if you're not, you're lacking. It's sad. Oy lanu. Every person needs a teacher in life. Every person needs a Rav for guidance, for hadracha. The people we hold in the highest esteem are the Gedolei Hador. I know that this Shabbos, Rav Asher Weishlit and Rav Herschel Schechter Shlita are going to be having a, I don't know if you call it scholar in residence, whatever it is, in the Young Israel of Woodmere, we hold our Rabbanim in the highest regard. The crown jewels are very nice, but they don't make us excited the way sitting with your teacher makes you excited. Or I should say, they should not make you excited. They might be beautiful, and they're gorgeous, and I like Julie as much as the next person, but what is really valuable to us? Tovi Torah's Picha Me Alfi Zaha V'Kesef. The Torah of your mouth, God, is more valuable to me than thousands of gold and silver. That's not where our future lies, it's not where our past lies, and it's not where our present lies. Yoru mishpatecha, yoru, hora'ah, mora, Torah, instruction. Yoru mishpatecha liyakov, isorascha liyisol. This is the role that Moshe gave to the Kohanim. The disciples love their masters, and they listen, not to their orders, since there are no orders. Thank you. Am I being too loud? But to their teachings, which enlighten the mind and gladden the heart. Korach charged that Moshe raised himself above the community. Excuse me. Korach charged that Moshe raised himself above the community. What did he say? Rav lachem, ki kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim, uvetochem Hashem, umeduet nasu kahal Hashem. I'm sorry. Rav lachem, you took enough power for yourself. Ki kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim. Everyone is holy. God is amongst all of us. Why do you pride yourself? Why do you raise yourself? Why do you take all the power for yourself? Korach did not understand the essence of our relationship and the Mesorah to Torah. Moshe had not raised himself above the community as Korach had charged. The community raised Moshe above itself. And that's perhaps why by Egel HaZahav, they're freaking out, excuse me. In Parshas Kitisa, Sefer Shemos, Perek Lamed Beis, Vayar ha'am ki boshesh Moshe lo redet min ha'har. The people see that Moshe was delayed. Boshesh, Chazal see they don't read it boshesh, read it bashesh. They made their calculation. It's the 40th day. It's the 6th hour. Moshe's not coming down. Vayikalu ha'am al Aaron. Vayomer kum aseilanu Elohim. A Asher yelchu lefaneinu ki ze Moshe ha'ish asher elanu me'eretz Yitzrayim lo yadanu mehayo. They do not set out to make an avodah zarah. They do not set out to make an idol for themselves or to replace God. Ultimately, it goes bad. It goes south pretty fast. Hashem's not happy. He wants to destroy everyone. Yod gimel midos harachamim. But they set out to make a replacement for Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Perhaps with this understanding, this is Perek Lamed Beis, Kitisha. It's after Ma'amad Har Sinai. Remember, it's the 40th day. They got the Torah. Moshe is their master teacher, and now he has disappeared. Who will lead us and who will teach us? A Jew without a teacher is a floundering Jew. So in the beginning, Kuma say lanu Elokim asher yalchu lefaneinu, ki zem Moshe ish asher alanu meretz Yitzrayim lo yadanu mehayelo. We just don't know where he is. The teacher is certainly elected by God to be near him, says the Rav. The teacher is elected. What's going on? Oh. The teacher is certainly elected by God to be near him, capital H. The teacher is elected by God to be near him, near God. And his personal kedusha transcends that of his disciples. Right? So Korach was right. Everyone's holy, but he was also a little bit wrong. Rav Asher Weiss, Rav Herschel Schlechter Shlita, who will be here for this coming Shabbos. So their personal Kedusha transcends the Kedusha of their disciples. We sit and we learn Torah from their mouths. And it's something we should be so proud of. It's something we should thirst for. Ein mayim ala Torah, v'dazar fai bi, you should want to drink the waters of Torah that the teacher pours into us. A saintly person is a leader, quote, because he is the teacher. A saintly person is the leader, says the Rav, quote, because he is the teacher. So why was Korach wrong? Such a beautiful piece. If you have the Sefer Vision and Leadership, it's from pages 197 through 198. It's very, very powerful. I did learn through it because I learned through that whole Sefer a number of years ago. I don't remember per se. And I also, when I was preparing Shir, I opened up that Sefer to that chapter, and I certainly have never taught it before. And it's a very beautiful and very powerful piece, and it reminds us of the relationship that we must have with our teachers and the relationship we have to have with our disciples, because every person in Knesset Israel fills a dual role. You should be learning from someone, and whether you like it or not, your actions and speech are teaching someone. So make sure you have that teacher to guide you, so when you teach to those who watch you, the message is correct. Rabbi Pesach Kron tells over such a beautiful maisa in one of his books, Illuminations of the Maggid. By the way, he points out something beautiful as an introduction to this little story that he tells. It's not a little story. It's a short story with a big impact about a teacher and a rabbi, which is why I'm bringing it to you in context of the shir. But he adds something so beautiful, which I think about now when I say Psukei Dezimra, since I read this many years ago. Every morning in the Shachar's prayers, by the way, I didn't say Chodesh Tov. Did I say Chodesh Tov? Chodesh Tov. Every morning, it's a very special day for us, Baruch Hashem, Alfos, Chodesh Tammuz, is Kenai Nahara, Chodesh Hashem, Kitov, our daughter's 18th birthday. Chai, Baruch Hashem, so it's Shevech and Odaz, Ayam Asa Hashem, Nagila, V'nismechabo. Every morning in the Shacharis prayers, we recite King David's description of one of Hashem's attributes. In the Hallelujahs, we say that Hashem is Harofe Lishivurei Lev. God is the Rofe, the healer for the brokenhearted. Interestingly, says Rabbi Pesach Kron, the Rosh Tevos of those three words, Harofe Lishivurei Lev, are Hey Lamed Lamed, which spell Halal, praise. Perhaps, says Rabbi Kron, there is a message here. One who wants to heal the brokenhearted, the way to do it is through praise. Sometimes we have to give musar. Sometimes a teacher has to give, or a parent. Happened to me this week. You have to give tochacha, you have to give musar. You should always be careful to criticize the behavior that needs to be analyzed or rectified, and not the personality, chas v'shalom, themselves. Harofei l'shvurei lev, the way to heal a broken heart, it's so beautiful, is through praise. And then Rabbi Pesach Kron tells over this beautiful story. Rabbi Avram Mandelbaum is one of the Menahalim of Yeshivas Orchos Chaim in Lakewood, New Jersey. Okay? This Sefer was published when? 2016, 5 years ago. So I don't know if it's still or not, but Rabbi Avram Mandelbaum is one of the Menahalim principals of Yeshivas Orchos Chaim in Lakewood, New Jersey. There are about 300 children, Kanai Nahar, in the third and fourth grade classes alone. Whenever a boy is sent to the office for some infraction, Rabbi Mandelbaum discusses the situation and reprimands the child if necessary. But before he sends him back to class with a note to the Rebbe or teacher, Rabbi Mandelbaum always says to the child who's got there because he's in trouble, "Remember, Shmuley, I love you." I had a situation this week I mentioned where, I had to be the rebuker. And when the child called, I said, "We'll discuss it later, etc." But the child realized that I was very unhappy with what had been done. And when we were hanging up the phone, my children always end the call by saying, "I love you, Baruch Hashem." And the child was still able to say that. And I was very taken by that, Baruch Hashem, because a teacher role always has, and again, you're all in this role, okay? Not if you're not standing up here only and giving shir. You're all in this role. To your families, your children, your grandchildren, the people you see in the supermarket, they're watching. You're always teaching through your behavior. So sometimes a harsh word, small docha, v'yamin mikaravis, is necessary, but the element of the ahava that is between the teacher and the disciple must always be there. So Rabbi Mandelbaum will always say to the child who has acted out, "Remember, Shmuley, I love you." Towards the end of the school year, Rabbi Mandelbaum was visited by a mischievous child who had been sent to his office more than once. Rabbi Mandelbaum gave the rebuke, he wrote the usual note, and he said to the child, "You may now go back to class." The boy stepped out into the hallway, but remained standing near the door. Rabbi Mandelbaum asked the boy why he was not going back to class. "Rabbi," said the boy sheepishly, "you forgot to tell me that you love me." Rabbi Mandelbaum told me, Rabbi Pesach Kron, that he was stunned. Who would have thought a few words of endearment would mean so much to a mischievous child? Comments Rabbi Pesach Kron, "This is so incredibly moving. Perhaps someone think these simple words, 'Remember, I love you,' are not that significant. But 30 years from now, that boy will not remember any details of the subject matter he learned in third grade. But he will remember that no matter what he did, the Menahel always loved him." Rav Soloveitchik said, comments related in August of 1981, in a shir, "Whether you are indebted to me as your teacher is a separate question," said the Rav. "But I am certainly indebted to you as a teacher more than you are indebted to me as my students. Do you know why?" says the Rav. The Rav here is saying, 1981, that he is more indebted to his students as their Rabbi than they are to him as their students. "Why are you more indebted to me?" "No. Why am I more indebted to you?" "Do you know why?" "Because a teacher always acquires more from his students than the students acquire from the teacher." And the Rav quoted the Gemara Maseches Tainis Zayin Amud Aleph, "V'hainu da'ama Rabbi Chanina," I'm sure you all are familiar with this, "Harbe lamadati mi rabosai, umechaveirai yoser mi rabosai." I have learned a lot from my rabbeim, and from my friends I learned even more than from my rabbeim, umitalmidai yoser mi kulan. And from my students I have learned more than all. So you'd see how deep the teacher-student, rabbi-disciple relationship is. And this was the relationship and the gift that Moshe Rabbeinu gave us. And we still call him Rabbeinu. We don't call Moshe who lived 3,800 years ago. We call Moshe who's alive right now. Moshe is our Rabbi. We're still learning from him. This is one of his greatest legacies, and this is what Korach didn't understand. Korach wanted power, and he thought Moshe and Aaron wanted power. Moshe was transmitting and establishing, not in that order, establishing and transmitting the beauty and the strength of what it means to be part of Knesset Yisrael, which is a teacher-student community. So the Rav quotes this Gemara from Maseches Tainis, "Harbe lamadati mi rabosai, umechavarai yoser mi rabosai, umitalmidai yoser mi kulan." I translated it already. The Rambam explains, says the Rav, that just as a small log, L-O-G, piece of wood, can kindle a larger one, the young student enables the learned teacher to enhance his wisdom. Which brings me to the final piece. So to make up for all the weeks I wasn't able to quote from the Rav, today we made up. We quoted from Vision and Leadership. That was from the Rav, Volume 2, by Rakefet Rothkopf. Now I'm quoting from Machzor Masoros HaRav Yom Kippur. What should the person who teaches, which is, by the way, all of us, how should he view his role? How should he view himself? Every day in Birkas HaShachar, you make the following bracha. There's the Lasok B'Dirishar, there's the Vaharevna, and you bless God who is Hamelame Torah La'amo Yisrael. As you start your day, what appellation do you give the Ribbono Shel Olam? He's a Malamid. The Ribbono Shel Olam is our teacher. Says the Rav, Hamalami Torah La'amo Yisrael. So tomorrow you're going to think of the Halalukas, Harofe Lishvurei Lev, not in this order, and you're going to think when you say Hamalami Torah La'amo Yisrael. Although we perceive, says the Rav, that there are many teachers of Torah, this perception is only superficial. There is really no flesh and blood teacher of Torah. So you're wondering, what does that mean? Maybe some of you go to Rabbi Shai Shechter's shir on Tuesday morning, and some of you are here this morning, whether Zoom or live. Although we perceive that there are many teachers of Torah, says the Rav, this perception is only superficial. There really is no flesh and blood teacher of Torah. There is only one Rebbe is capitalized, one Rosh Yeshiva, one teacher, and that is the ultimate Melamed Torah La'amo Yisrael. We know we have Mitzvot Derabanan, Mitzvot Deoraisa of Alachta Bedrachav, as expounded upon by the sages, which means to go in God's ways. Masachas Sota Yudal Aleph and Shabbos Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. We are commanded to emulate God. Hashem teaches us. Hashem teaches us about Malbush Arumim, clothing the unclothed. Hashem teaches us how to do Bikur Cholam. Hashem teaches us how to do Nichum Aveilim. Hashem teaches us how to do the mitzvah of Kibur Mesim. Ma'ahu Rachum Af Atar Rachum V'chan and Shabbos Kuf Lamed Gimel. Hashem teaches us how to be merciful and compassionate. You want to know how you know how to behave as a Jew? Because, says the Rav, there really is no flesh and blood teacher of Torah. And now we understand deeper why we are a teaching community. Because we are all disciples of the ultimate Malami Torah La'amo Yisrael. It's not even our Gedolim. It's not the child in your child's classroom. Don't misunderstand. Keep going to the Shiurim. Keep asking Shias. Your child does have a teacher. But there is really ultimately only one teacher. Says the Rav, there really is no flesh and blood teacher of Torah. There's only one Rabbi, one Rosh Hashiva, one teacher. The ultimate Malami Torah, La'amo Yisrael. The voice of God resonates within the voice of every mortal teacher. The master of the universe, Ribbono Shel Olam, is our teacher at Sinai. And he remains our teacher throughout the generations. So you can imagine that to me, it's a very powerful piece. It moves me every time. And it reminds us ultimately, all of us, of our role. We're all teachers. Whether you like it or not, you are. Well, Babich Rebbe used to say, if you know Aleph, go teach Aleph. No one should think they're not on the role of teacher. You are. Whether it's to a community, or to kehila, or to a shir you're giving, or to your children, or to your family, or to a classroom. Make sure you're also a student. Make sure you're a student. That's the highest compliment, to be a Talmud Chacham. That's the highest compliment that a Jew, the biggest Toar, that you can have. But keep in mind, with all of this, that there's really only one teacher. And make sure we're learning from him. And that's what Korach did, understand? Korach wanted power, because he thought Moshe wanted power. He thought Aaron wanted power. He thought Eli Tzofa wanted power. He didn't know the secret. Yoru mishpatacha le'Yaakov v'soraschal le'Yisrael. I'm going to end. I did the same thing last week by repeating the paragraph of the Rav. Last week I repeated Hey Ratzim v'Anu Ratzim without interrupting him. And with that I'll end Shir. If you came late, there is class next week by Ezrat Hashem. This is very important. Then we're off for 2 weeks. Then a 6-week summer program. I begin July 8th. Next week, yes, Shir. The 2 weeks after that, no shear. 24th and July 1st, no shear. Who teaches Torah to his people Israel. Although we perceive that there are many teachers of Torah, this perception is only superficial. There really is no flesh and blood teacher of Torah. There's only one Rebbe, one Rosh Yeshiva, one teacher, the ultimate Malami Torah, La'amo Yisrael. Think of that tomorrow morning. I said I'm not going to drop. Think of that tomorrow morning when you say Berakas HaShachar. Think of blessing God for the zechus of being a student. The voice of God resonates within the voice of every mortal teacher. The master of the universe was our teacher at Sinai and remains our teacher throughout the generations. I express my Hakar Satov to my teachers, the Rav amongst them, very primarily. I express my Hakar Satov to my Rabban and my teachers, my ability to share whatever knowledge I have and take these lessons with you. It's really important. We're all students and we're all teachers. And that's the beauty of Knesset Yisrael. I wish you a wonderful, meaningful, uplifting Shabbos. Thank you so much to everybody in person and everyone on Zoom. Kol Tov to all.
Thank you.